Welcome to Reflections from the Heart, presented by Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. Reflections from the Heart is an outreach of Gospel Reflection, a family ministry of Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. For the next 30 minutes, please join us as we break open the bread of life in the Gospel reading for this Sunday's Mass, as we invite the same Holy Spirit who inspired the biblical writers to inspire us today. And now, here is your host with Reflections from the Heart.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Reflections from the Heart. My name is Keith Nestor from Down to Earth Ministry, and I will be your guest host for this week. Joining me today is my special guest and good friend from the Coming Home Network and the Sunrise Morning Show. You're going to recognize his voice for sure. Mr. Matt Swaim is joining us today. Matt, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well, and in light of today's gospel, I hope you recognize my voice, but there's a voice that is perhaps more recognizable than mine by a long shot, by infinity, that shows up in the gospel today. So.
Well, I certainly hope we all recognize the Lord's voice, but at the same time, I want everyone to recognize your voice. If people haven't heard you, they need to get on to the Sunrise Morning Show, which around here, I think it's at like 5:30 in the morning or so. I catch it on the way to the gym sometimes. It's super early for me, but I always enjoy when you're the first voice I hear in the morning, Matt.
That's terrifying, but the earlier you get up, the holier you're going to be.
Amen. Well, hey, would you join us or open us up in a word of prayer, actually, and everyone can join us as we pray together before we study the gospel.
Absolutely. Let's pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you communicate to us through it. Thank you for you yourself who are the truth. I pray that you'd open our hearts as we dive into the words of this gospel reading, that we would find something in it that speaks directly to what we need to hear, and that equips us to go live our faith in our homes and in the world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, our gospel today for the fourth Sunday in Easter comes to us from John chapter 10. This is verses 1 through 10. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Amen. That's the word of the gospel for us today. Thanks be to God. Matt, what do you think? What do you think about this? You mentioned the whole idea of recognizing the voice of one today. Of course, you meant the voice of Jesus.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. My voice, it doesn't matter if you recognize my voice, right? There's so many things in this. I mean, Jesus, it says in verse 6 that he's using this figure of speech, and it says they did not understand what he is saying. So by the they, you got to back up a few verses and figure out, what's going on here. So this is John 10, verses 1 through 10. But at the end of John 9, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and it's shortly after he's healed the man born blind. And you may recall from the scrutinies in Lent that the man was born blind. Jesus heals him. Suddenly he's like, is that the guy that used to be blind? Or is this other guy that looks like him? Maybe we don't know. He ends up before the Pharisees. The Pharisees like give him the third degree. They throw him out because, they're not willing to accept the fact that he is healed by Jesus and he's following Christ now. He goes on actually to meet Jesus later. So in the context of all this, I think it's absolutely fascinating that Jesus talks about a sheep hearing his voice after the story of healing a blind man. Because when he healed that blind man, all the blind man had to go off of was Jesus's voice.
Right? That's right.
So it's an interesting juxtaposition that right out of the gates, pun intended, as we'll see later on, that, you know, Jesus hears that they've thrown out this guy who recognized Jesus first and foremost by his voice, and then starts railing into the Pharisees and saying, basically, you don't recognize my voice. My sheep do, though, just so you know. Right. I just think that's a fascinating piece of context that sets up this story of Jesus.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about the people who were following Jesus were people who were hearing his teaching. And it seems like even in our time, some people are able to have this experience with Jesus where it's almost like they know exactly what he's calling them into. But other people are like, I don't get it. I haven't heard from him. I don't know what he's trying to tell me. And sometimes I think about that and I wonder if one of the reasons why people have a hard time hearing his voice is because they don't know him. That's what he said. He said, my sheep know me and I know them. There's this element of relationship that exists between Jesus and his followers that allows them to recognize his voice. He says, my sheep know me. That's why they recognize me. They don't follow a stranger. If Jesus is a stranger, then it's going to be hard to hear his voice. But if you know him, it makes it easier. So I sometimes think about when people say things like, well, Jesus told me to do this or told me to do that, but what they might be referring to doesn't match up with what he said in the word. So I wonder sometimes, are they following him or are they following the voice of a stranger and they just think it's him?
Well, you know, anybody can read the Bible and make it say whatever they want, right? You and I are proof of this because we both come from a few different kinds of traditions that are Christianity, but not Catholicism, right? And the reason that we have so many of those is because, you know, everybody picks up the Bible and without the aid of the magisterium and the tradition of the church and the wisdom that's been passed down through the centuries through the apostolic deposit of faith, you know, you come to the words of Christ and you use them to say whatever matches what you kind of already think or want to be doing. But we don't just do this with the Bible. We do this with literally everything, right? I mean, think about how often, I mean, maybe there's a politician you don't like, a celebrity you don't like, a sports team you don't like that has players on it that you don't like. If some story comes out about those players, you don't even have to investigate it, right? You just know, of course, that's the kind of thing that they would do. Like we all have our narratives, right? And this is what the Pharisees had with Jesus. They're like, well, it couldn't be him, right? So it doesn't even matter, right? He can perform miracles. He can literally like heal a blind person. They got their narrative.
Exactly.
Right? Narrative. And, you know, that to me is really convicting because I got a lot of narratives, man. I mean, I got a lot of things that I think, a lot of things that I want to believe about people that I don't like. And, you know, C.S. Lewis says this interesting thing about how, you know, let's say that something comes out about somebody that you don't like and it's really bad. And your first instinct is, well, that sounds exactly like the kind of thing that person would do, right? The Pharisee reaction. Sure. But then let's say that you get more information and you're like, oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought. And maybe this person was actually in the right in this situation. Is your instinct to say, oh, well, maybe this person I disliked isn't as bad as I think and I should take another look at this? Or is your instinct to say, well, I still think the other version's true, you know, because it fits more with your worldview. I mean, this is, well, you can mock the Pharisees and say, well, how come they didn't see? How come they were so obstinate and so blind? But I mean, I feel like I do this a million times a day in politics, in church politics. If the Phillies are in town playing my Reds, I'll believe anything you tell me about the Phillies as long as it's bad, right?
You know?
And that's just, we love that kind of thing.
Yeah, we do. We love to make up our mind about people before we get to know who they are and really what they say. And I mean, I saw a thing the other day that said within like 4 seconds of meeting a person, you've already decided whether you're going to like them or not. It's amazing how quickly we can come to judgment of people. And it's clear that the Pharisees already had their judgment about Jesus because he didn't line up with what they were saying. So even though he is there to teach them, they're not willing to follow him because they don't recognize his voice as the voice of the Messiah. But Jesus says that anyone who truly knows him, that he calls by name. And I think once again, there's that element of relationship and a personal situation with Jesus that allows us to understand who he is, because it can be easy to be led astray, Matt. It can be easy to be pulled into this or that. And you and I both have been down this road many times with plenty of people who have all of these views about who Jesus is and what he's teaching. And I remember talking to someone one time after I had become Catholic, who was sort of concerned about me. And they were asking me, well, what happened to you? And how can this? And as I began to explain certain elements of what the church teaches and about what Christ said, they just said, well, that can't be true. And I said, well, how do you know that? And this person literally said to me, because I know Jesus, and my Jesus wouldn't do that. I know. And you could show them the text, you could show them the reading, but their Jesus doesn't go along with that. But the problem with that is, well, what about the other person's Jesus? What about the, like, how do we get to the real Jesus? And I think this is the heart of the matter. We have to know him well enough to hear his voice, to know what he would say to us. So when someone says something to me like, well, you know, God wants me to divorce my spouse and leave my children because he wants me to be happy. And, you know, people always say things, well, God wouldn't cause you to do anything that wouldn't make you happy. So this is what Jesus is calling me to do because I'm not happy. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound to me like the real Jesus. It sounds to me like a spiritual stranger.
I think it might have been an atheist. And I can't even remember which famous atheist said this. But they were joking about like all the different versions of Christianity out there and all the ways that, you know, particularly in American culture, where we're all sort of individualistically wired and consumers, and, you know, we're used to corporations playing to our every interest and need. And, you know, we have churches that do the exact same thing to try and play to the consumer need. But the quip is, you know, God created man in his image, and man, being a gentleman, returned the favor, right? We turned around and made God in our own image, right? We aren't interested in the voice. We're interested in getting divine rubber stamps on kind of what we want to do already. So in some senses, I mean, that really strikes to the heart of what Jesus is saying in the course of this. Like, you want to be with me, you got to go through the gate that I go through. What's interesting is, as he's describing what it means to be a shepherd in this context and be in that gate, the shepherd goes through first. So if you don't go through the door that the shepherd's going through, then you're not going to end up in the sheep pen, right? You have to know the real voice, because there are probably a lot of noises going on. Maybe another shepherd on the other hill, maybe noises of your fellow sheep around you. You know, this is a, I mean, this is an easy thing to mistake, and an easy thing for us to, like I said, give ourselves a pass for. I mean, whenever somebody attacks me, you know, over at the Coming Home Network, because we're helping people who are interested in becoming Catholic, right? A lot of people are like, well, you left true Christianity for this false version of Christianity, and they'll start arguing with us. And then somebody else from another Christian tradition will start arguing with us as well, right? Like a Seventh-day Adventist will start, you know, hammering us, and then a Baptist will start hammering us in the comments on a Catholic video. And this probably happens in your comments too, right? Within like three comments, they start hammering each other, right? I mean, that's how easy it is for us to just get so caught up and atomized if we're not careful that we're to be listening to the voice of Jesus instead of just listening to what we want to hear.
Yeah.
Inside ourselves.
Now, some people might ask the question, well, why should I listen to Jesus? What makes him so special? But he reminds everyone that Jesus doesn't just show up with some demands to make and some words to say. He shows up with himself. He says, look, I am going to go out ahead of you, and I'm going to lead you into these pastures. And I think, you know, this of course leads me to think about in the reading from the Psalms this week is the 23rd Psalm, this imagery of God being a shepherd and what that has meant to the people of Israel. And Jesus coming along saying, look, not only am I the shepherd, but I'm also the gate. I am the gate. Like, you can't get into this without me. So he's saying, though, but look, not only am I going to tell you the truth, I'm going to lead you and walk you through it. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to lay my life down for you. You see, these Pharisees and Sadducees, as with many teachers of our day, they are fleecing the flock rather than dying for the flock. And what's interesting is Jesus says, look, if you're going to hear my voice, you've got to follow me. But where are you following him? Where does Jesus lead? He leads through some tough stuff sometimes. It's not just all rainbows and unicorns following Jesus. It's going to be hard, but he's not just standing in the back telling you where to go. He's standing in the front leading you. So if you want to hear the voice from Jesus, understand this. It's going to take you to some difficult places, but you'll not be taken there alone. He will guide you and direct you, and he will himself lay down his life for you. This was radically different than the way most people approach their faith leaders and their philosophy of religion, isn't it, Matt?
It is. Well, it's also how a lot of political leaders, I mean, there are a lot of political leaders that people will spend all day defending that who would do absolutely nothing to defend you. You know, if your reputation was on the line, right? At the end of the day, it becomes about themselves. And I think, you know, for a lot of our, Christian leaders in other denominations, I don't think that many of them are intentionally trying to do this, right? I know that when I was, you know, in an imperfect communion, I was following the best that I could. I was selfish in some cases, altruistic in others. But I find it interesting because you were talking about some of these nuances of the symbolism of this idea of the sheep and the shepherd and the gate and the watchman. I was looking up some father's commentary on this, and it was funny. I came across Chrysostom, and you know, I don't know that this necessarily occurs to us because we don't always hear all these stories put together. But John Chrysostom says, you know, when our Lord calls himself the door, right, the gate, we shouldn't be surprised. According to the office that he bears, he is in one part of Scripture the shepherd. In another part of Scripture, he's the sheep, right? He's the lamb, right?
Interesting.
In another part of the Scripture, in the fact that he introduces us to the Father, he is the door, right? And the fact that he takes care of us, he's the shepherd, right? And in some senses, in the fact that he is the one who opens the door and calls us inward, he's also kind of the watchman in this story. Mm-hmm. It is interesting how, I think I better go own some sheep, because I feel like a whole lot of stuff in the Bible would make a whole lot more sense to me because of how often, you know, Jesus tells stories about himself, either discussing, I mean, actually it's right after this, in John 10, where Jesus begins to talk about, you know, being a good shepherd, and, you know, the idea of the good shepherd laying his life down for the sheep, right? So the door, two verses later, becomes the shepherd, right? And in laying his life down, right, he is taking, that's a shepherd taking the role of a lamb, right? Which is what's ultimately going to happen on the cross, is he's the final Passover lamb. Just a lot of sheep and shepherd and, you know, herding imagery.
Well, because that's what they knew. I mean, that's the language that he spoke, the language that they needed to hear. And I think this, again, goes back to this whole idea of recognizing his voice. Jesus isn't going to speak to you in a language that you can't understand. He's going to give you what you need so that you can understand. But the question is, are you willing to listen? And according to what Jesus is saying, the way that you show that you're willing to listen is that you follow him. Because think about this, Matt. If you're standing in one place and you want to hear the voice of Jesus and he's trying to lead you, that means he's moving. And he's moving away from you because he's going to where he's trying to lead you. And if you don't follow him, it doesn't matter if you recognize his voice, if you know who he is, if all of that. If you just stay in one spot, eventually he's going to get so far away from you that you can't hear him anymore. That's just how the analogy works. And I think it's a true one. So for us to really hear the voice of the Lord, it isn't just this one-time thing in our lives where we go, okay, God, I want to follow you as my shepherd, because he's not sitting in a spot just there, not going anywhere. He's leading you. That's the sense of the text. He's leading you into these pastures, leading you through life. Yes, through the valley of the shadow of death, but ultimately into life. And if you want that, not only do you have to recognize him, but you also have to follow him. And I think this is where a lot of people get hung up, because it's so easy to hear the voice of Jesus and kind of start down that path, but then get distracted by the junk of the world and start looking to your left and start looking to the right and go, ooh, there's something shiny over there. I can just venture off a little bit and I can sort of see him over there. I can walk away a little bit and keep my eye on him, but really follow. But eventually what happens is you lose sight of him. And I think that's the journey of faith, is that's why we have to stay close to him, Matt. But if we don't follow him right there, then it's going to be even harder to hear his voice.
Yeah. And there is we talk about this in terms of like how everybody's got a religion and some people believe in God, right? You're going to follow a voice. That's just the fact of the matter. Everybody's going to follow a voice. I was pulling up the lyrics to the Bob Dylan song, Serve Somebody.
Sure.
Now and yeah, it may be the devil it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody, right? It doesn't matter who you are. And, well, I mean, I think it's easy for us to think that those other things that we're following are really stuff that we're sort of self-selecting as casual consumers, but people follow their favorite team and it becomes like a religion, right? People follow the voice of this pundit or this cable news show or whatever, and it becomes their guru, their religion. It becomes the lens through which they see everything. You know, people follow a fitness plan. It becomes the lens through which they see everything. People follow a political cause, a political movement. It becomes the lens. Yeah. That's the voice that you hear. And even what's wild to me is that, you know, how often that kind of comes back into the church, and you'll find Catholics who even decide which pieces of Catholicism they're going to accept or reject, or which things are more important or less important, based on whatever they've heard from somewhere else. Right?
Interesting.
And this certainly happened to us, like I say, as evangelicals, where a lot of our political positions ended up being, you know, reflected in how what we thought was ultimately important theologically, or which parts of the scriptures were more important than others, right? Whereas the church is like, hey, we've seen a million empires rise and fall. You know, if you're going to serve one of these other groups, you're going to serve this movement, this political platform, this position, this consumer thing. Guess what? As Fulton Sheen, you know, famously said, whoever marries the spirit of the age is going to be a widow in the next generation, right? Because all these things have limited shelf life and they burn real hot and real bright and real short. We were talking on a podcast that you and I did for the Coming Home Network about how, you know, much of our faith as evangelicals was shaped by our involvement in like underground Christian music and how huge that was in our whole lives. And it formed us theologically, formed us spiritually, actually in a lot of good ways, right? There was a lot of good fruit that came in our lives. But for me in that era, that whole Christian underground music movement was how I viewed everything. And that was like a 20-year window. And that whole movement barely exists anymore, right? There are so many of these voices that even if they're good or have elements of good in them, they can dominate. And yet they're so short-lived. But when you're in them, it's hard for you to think that this is not like some eternal thing. And yet looking back, everybody's like, man, I can't believe I was into that thing for like 15 years. That's weird. Nobody's into that anymore, you know? And yet that's another voice that we all followed, you know, wholeheartedly for that short window.
I think it's important for each of us to think about which voices are we listening to, even within the realm of our deciding to try to follow Jesus. We're going to hear these voices. We're going to hear people trying to say, follow me, this is the way. Follow me, that is the way. And really the goal of all of this is to be following the shepherd, to follow Jesus himself. And that's why it's important to recognize his voice. And the best way you're going to recognize his voice is if you read the word of God, if you listen to his church, if you become so familiar with the way that Jesus communicates, the things that he says, that when you hear a contrary voice, even one that would claim to be authentic, as Christ says, you will know that person is a stranger and you will know not to follow them. That's the type of relationship that Jesus says. You know, if somebody, I can tell which one of my kids is texting me, even if I don't see the name, just by the way that they speak to me, just by the way we communicate, I know, oh, that's my son or that's my other son or my daughter, whatever. Like that level of familiarity. And if someone ever tried to impersonate them to me, I would know instantly that's not really who they're purporting themselves to be. That's the kind of way that we need to know Jesus, my friends. And that's why I'm so excited that we have these opportunities to study the Word of God. And I'm so thankful for the church giving us these gospel readings, not just every Sunday, but every day. Friends, we can be in the Word every single day to hear the words from Jesus, to hear his words, read his words, so that we can know him. His desire isn't just to preach to you. His desire is to connect with you, to know you, so that you can hear his voice and know the voice of Jesus versus the voice of a stranger. But again, you will not recognize that unless you follow, because you've got to stay close to him, my friends. Matt, what are some of the best ways you think people can practice staying close to Jesus here as we close up this radio program today?
It ain't rocket science, man. Go to Mass, pray, read the Bible. I mean, this is the formula that the church has set out for us from the beginning. If you're like, well, I don't know how to hear God's voice. Well, it's literally, there's like a book full of his voice.
Amen.
You know, and this is what the church gives us. And the church even gives us like a cycle of readings to follow along with what everybody in the whole church is reading that day. If you don't think there's power in the church in Iowa and the church in Washington, D.C. and the church in Africa and the Philippines, all thinking and praying about the same scripture on the same day, then you're not thinking hard enough about it, because this is the whole church looking at the same gospel reading this Sunday. Stay in the word, even if you don't feel stuff, right? I take all kinds of, you know, vitamins and supplements and eat all kinds of food, and I don't feel amazing, you know, 2 seconds later. But I can tell you when I know that I've been eating badly, because a couple weeks later I'm feeling like garbage all the time. So just follow the regimen. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, but it is. But it is, and I know this is a word we don't like to use, but it is work, isn't it? The imagery of a shepherd leading his sheep. He wasn't leading them through a resort, but where does he lead them ultimately? To green pastures. He says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. But that is the destination. Ultimately, to get there, we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We have to walk amongst some enemies. We have to walk amongst some pain. But Christ has promised that if we follow him, if we walk with him, he'll get us through. But we've got to stick close to him enough to hear his voice and know it. Matt, thank you so much for joining me today. Tell us where people can find out more about you, or how they can catch your programs, or see you on the Coming Home Network, or anything like that that you might be able to direct them to.
Sure. Two quick, easy links. SunriseMorningShow.com. That's SunriseMorningShow.com. If you want to get up earlier than Keith Nestor gets up and hear Catholic radio 5 weekdays a week. We talk about everything under the sun from a Catholic perspective, including, you know, the readings. And then the other thing is the Coming Home Network. We have well over 1,000 stories of people who've come to the church from various backgrounds. If you go to chnetwork.org/story, you can access the archive. I think it's like, might be like 1,600 conversion stories at this point, including Keith's.
Yes.
So amen. Go check it out.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone once again for joining us here on Reflections from the Heart. Have a great week, everybody. Take care and God bless.
Reflections from the Heart has been presented by Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. We hope that you've been blessed and encouraged as you listen to Reflections from the Heart. If so, please consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For more information on locations and times of Gospel Reflection groups, or how to start a Gospel Reflection group in your area, and to learn about all of the family of ministries, please visit our website at stewardshipmission.org or call us at 717-367-0100. Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and depends on donations from people like you to make Reflections from the Heart possible. If you've enjoyed this broadcast, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making a tax-deductible donation by visiting stewardshipmission.org or call us at 717-367-0100. On behalf of all of us at Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, thank you for listening. And until next time, may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.